And welcome to a very special edition of the E-Factor. The E-Factor is brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development here in Frankfort, Indiana, Clinton County, Indiana. Shan Sheridan with you, the director, and certainly appreciate being your host for our E-Factor programs each and every week. Why I say it's a special E-Factor, because we're celebrating freedom. We're celebrating the 4th of July weekend, and we're glad that we can be a part of that with you. We have a very special guest in doing that. He is a man that needs no introduction, and we're going to be talking to him in just a moment. But first, let me give him an introduction. Leroy Good, who has been a true blessing in my life over the several years, is also our century citizen. He is a 100-year-old World War II veteran who has seen a lot through his life, from the Spanish flu that he was born in 1920 to world wars, Great Depression, a variety of other illnesses and pandemics, and of course things that we consider modern technology that he got to see born. So we're going to be talking to Leroy and getting some clarification and answering some questions based upon what's going on in our day today and our modern world today. Having said that, let's bring on our good friend, Mr. Leroy Good. And it is great to be able to bring on Brother Leroy Good. Leroy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jan.
Well, it's great to hear your voice. And well, first of all, I've just got to ask, you made it through the 100-year-old weekend birthday celebration. It was quite festive, wasn't it?
It was quite a deal. I was kind of surprised at the antique car show on the square. I'm kind of hoarse this morning. I'll get cleared up here in a minute. That was really a surprise to me, and I enjoyed every minute of that. And then into the old Stoney program, and finally the finale out at Michigantown in the old renovated gym put on by the Lions Club at Michigantown. So I had 3 days of celebrations that I'd never thought was imaginable before.
Wow. Well, it was a great time, and we certainly were blessed to be able to be a small part of that, and to watch you be recognized and to be honored, not just because you made it to 100 years old, and not just because you are a centurion citizen, but really, Leroy, because of the life that you have led. And I think that that was expressed so eloquently by so many people over the last during that weekend. But we do appreciate you, and we just wanted to thank you. And I want to say thank you for joining us on the E-Factor again. We've had you on before, but I really wanted to touch a little bit about where we are today. And if we look back on our society, you've been around as long as about anyone, and in our whole country. And though we have some that folks that are over 100, we even right here in our own county, not many people can have the perspective that you have, looking at our country and looking at our world for that matter. And so I guess as you see the current events and see what's happening in this world today, what memory is jarred? What as you reminisce, does this bring back memories for you as far as something that's happened in the past regarding what's going on with rioting and what's going on with the coronavirus and what's happening in our world today?
Well, I've got to go back through that. Of course, the biggest part of your life is, it was once said, it's too bad you waste so much of your life on use. Mm. But to me, that was one of the happy times, even living through the Depression. Us kids, we didn't have anything, but everybody was happy. We had church class parties and all kinds of entertainment in the homes. And to me, that meant so much. And I had a feeling, even after I came home from World War One or World War Two, I had the feeling America's not like it used to be. Mm. And I just hate to think of that. But to me, it's just not the same.
Well, what gave you that feeling? You mentioned you had being a happy childhood and a variety of different things that you did, you know, recreationally and socially. But then you said you get back from World War II and you felt like our culture had changed even back then in 1945. What was it that made you feel that way?
Well, I really don't. Well, so many the young girls and the women had gone to work, and that was a big change. The only women that we've had working in around Frankfort was the old coverall plant and the canning factory. And that was sort of seasonal down there. And it just seemed like every girl or every woman had a job somewhere. And pre-World War II, they just didn't have that. And I think that was one of the big changes that I saw.
What was it that then, so pre-World War II, what were women doing? I mean, they weren't working in jobs. And some people would say, well, oh my goodness, well, what were they doing? So what were they doing?
Well, there just wasn't any jobs available. We had a lot of 5 and 10 cent stores. They had 3 in Frankfort. They had the Woolworth. They had Spencer. They had the Murphy 10 cent store. And a lot of the girls out of school got jobs in the candy counters and clerks in those stores as minor jobs. And then they got married, and it just seemed like they settled down in the home more so. And they didn't, it's almost unheard of, a woman working in any kind of a factory. So I think that was the big difference, is they just had minor jobs, and they'd work a while, and then get married and keep a home and raise a family,
which is pretty important job, and probably certainly a full-time job as raising a family, being a mom and taking care of all the things that go on in running a household, because it's kind of like running, and I had this conversation with someone not too long ago, it's kind of like running a small company. When you're the mother managing a family, it's like running a small company. You got things to do, places that you got to go, things that you got to produce. It's pretty important.
It sure is. And when we got married, my wife, she had a job with a doctor's office, and she worked till we had her first child, and then she was a stay-at-home mother, and she didn't work out any after that. A lot of people said, well, you can't make it if your wife's not working. I said, well, we did, so that's all. I've got pretty good proof of that, so. We had a nice home life, and the family has been very close and stuck together. So I attribute it all to family life. Very important.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about family. What has been the biggest change? Maybe you already mentioned it, by women going into the workforce especially after World War II, or during World War II. Actually, it was more of a necessity because the men were at war. Women were back, and thank God that women stepped up and did what they did in that period of time. But what are some of the other big changes that you have seen regarding the family when it comes to our culture, our multicultures that we've gone through, multi-societal changes?
Well, I really don't know how to phrase that, because I just don't have the words that I can express that. But the family life, through the churches, and my goodness alive, when our church was a lot of times full, we had Children's Day and programs in the church, and it was always filled, and everybody worked together, and Even in the neighborhood, we had thrashing rings, and we exchanged work with our neighbors and all that, and kept it very close. Now I have neighbors that I've never met and I don't even know.
Mm.
So there's a lot of difference in that time and now.
Well, certainly one of those things I think that have made an impact, and correct me if I'm wrong, Leroy, is technology. How has technology, in your estimation, in your opinion, how has technology helped, and how has it hurt our culture?
Well, that's hard for me to say, because, to tell you the truth, I haven't kept up with technology. I don't have a computer. I don't even have a cell phone. I've still got the old phone that hangs on the wall. So I can't quite comprehend all the modern communication lines and all that.
Of course, you lived through, though, the early telecommunications, because you watched us move from, letter writing to eventually somebody actually picking up a phone and calling somebody. I remember growing up in the 60s back in Louisiana, we had a party line, you know, so.
Oh, yeah.
But that changed. That was technology that certainly changed communication, correct?
Yes, it changed the same here. We had the old switchboard. You had to wait to get the line, about seven or eight people on one line, and somebody's ring goes, every receiver went down, they wanted to hear what the other person was talking about. So we eliminated all that when we went to a larger telephone system, and that all changed. And I remember when the radios come out, you had to have, our first set had three or four dials on it. You had to synchronize them all to the same position to get a program. And we could only get one or two programs. You had to have an arrow outside. Finally, they come out with radios that had no antenna at all. So they improved fast.
Yeah, technology change. What was some of the fastest technology that you saw change in your? Maybe it was in farming, because you ran the elevator for many years. Maybe it was in transportation. Maybe it was in communication. Where do you think technology changed the fastest or the quickest?
Well, I think it changed on the farm, really. It's about as fast as anything. In the last 10 years, I met a fellow the other day that's still farming, and I said, you got a semi? And he says, I've got three. He said, filling one, one a hauling, another one a waiting.
Wow.
So instead of down to one semi, now they're up to three. And they got to haul their grain a long ways. When I started the elevator, we had a couple of farmers still drove a team of horses and a wagon into the elevator. And then they went to ton trucks, two-ton trucks, hydraulic lift trucks, and that changed real fast in the farming line.
Mm. And you saw that working at the elevator there for many years. Yeah. You got to see a lot of the different trucks coming in and bringing in the grain. It had to be interesting going from year to year, seeing the different modes of transportation.
Yeah, that changed fast, and I was there 35 years in the elevator business, and there were just so many changes from the beginning. We had a scale that only weighed about 4 or 5 tons, and the last scale we had to go up about 15, 20 tons. So things just got bigger and faster all the time. Now the grain elevator's on. I saw an ad one time said no elevator in Clinton County, only over 6 miles away from a farm, and now there's none.
Wow.
There's a couple of big terminals.
Yep, big terminals. That's another thing that changed. We went from small farming to more big corporate farming. Big change there, right?
Oh, big change. I would say they have to farm easily 1,000 acres now to have the equipment and the things to make it a paying job. Just can't do it on. Used to be you farm 150, 60 acres, you had all you wanted. Now that wouldn't be that'd be one field maybe.
Right, right. Pretty incredible how all that has come out over the years. That's and how things have changed in regarding of family farming versus corporate farming versus just even now we have educational farming. There, you've got your different crops and things that you deal with, but from on the educational side. So let's move a little bit. We're celebrating. Yeah, I mean, can you believe this, Leroy? This weekend we're celebrating 244 years of America. Pretty unbelievable, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's the longest, I think, any freedom country such as ours has been established and lasted. They said about 200 years is all form of government like ours could last, but here we are 244 years. It gets pretty shaky at times, yet there's something always pulls us back together, and we don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose that constriction or the method of keeping this form of government going, because there's nothing that would replace it. But what would be worse? So we're lucky to still have it.
Well, many would believe that what you're saying that keeps us together, that binds us together, is our Constitution. Would you agree?
Oh, I would agree 100%. And how those founding fathers set up a Constitution that still provides us our basic laws today is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, because it's pretty much been battle tested. It is endured. Of course, there's those that would like to, abolish the Constitution or certainly amend it and change it greatly. But we believe, many of us that are constitutionalists believe that the opportunity I would say that making that decision to do that would certainly. I think challenge and compromise the opportunities that it brings us by just keeping our Constitution and obeying by it.
Yeah, if you've got ready proof, all you need to do is see some country that's went communist or socialistic and see what's happened to them. It's right clear before our very faces to know that what could be if we get off of this present rule that we're living under.
Well, you were a part of World War II. You got to see fascism. You got to see tyrannies, dictatorships, and those. There would be those today that would say, "Well, maybe that's what we're under now with our current president." But you got to see it firsthand. What is different about our country versus those countries that you went and fought in?
Well, you really could see freedom in action. That's all I can say. We went into the Italian country that the day after, about a few days after they'd surrendered and given up. And I never saw so many happy people in my life as they were. They were hungry and they was friendly and they were just outstanding people. And to know what they had lived under, they thought, I guess maybe at the time it was really living good, but when things went against them and the country and the government began to crumble up, it made a lot of difference. And when they saw the freedom that the American soldiers had, it was just outstanding that how they received us.
Mm. It had to be an incredible sight. It had to be an incredible emotion for you to know that you've been shot at and you know, bombed on, and yet you come in to see the people, not the soldiers, not the government, but you come in to see the people, and they're cheering you.
Yeah, it was, and even when the war ended, our regiment had guard of around 100,000 German prisoners, and what a pathetic sight that were. They were scarred, they were ragged, they were starved, they were hungry, and they were just overjoyed to be prisoners of the Americans. And it was just, you just can't hardly explain how some of them looked and how some of them felt. And they just felt like they could grab a hold of you and shake your hand and hang on. It was just a tremendous feeling to be a part of that.
And you were talking about prisoners of war, prisoners that you took captive in World War II. These were German soldiers that were absolutely thankful that this thing was over.
Yes, they were. They were like us. All they wanted to do was go home. They brought a bunch down, wanted me to be a guard for them, and I said, "There's nothing to guard." They was just as friendly as our own people, because they were so glad it was all over with. And how they got so many of them believing in their system of government and war is beyond belief.
Well, you segue nicely, Leroy, into what I want to kind of conclude today and finish up our conversation is about today and what's going on in our government today, and how our freedoms are being threatened and how democracy and our republic is being threatened. You made the comment just then. You couldn't believe how many people bought in. What do you think? How did they buy in? What was the great lure? What was the great bait that people bought into such a lie?
Well, it's hard to say what dictators like Hitler and Mussolini, how he instilled in all them people to, I guess they thought they could conquer the world and then they'd be on top of the world. Sometimes it don't take much to influence people. And I guess that's my feeling, the only way I know that they was promised the earth and everything in it. But it didn't work out that way.
And it kind of came back to what you said earlier, that really it wasn't about inheriting the earth as much as they just wanted to go back to their own little world and their own little piece of the earth and just their own homes and live peacefully in their own families.
That's right. That's exactly it. When you get down to morals and feelings, they had the same feelings we got. We're all humans on this earth, and it's no use to try to think one's better than the other, because we're all created equal by our Creator.
Well, you bring up another good point about equality. That seems to be the struggle that the challenge that we are facing today is there true equality? And there's so much injustice in the world. What do you say to folks listening today regarding equality? I mean, you just mentioned that we're all created equal, but What's some wisdom from you, from your lips to our ears, Leroy, regarding the injustices of the world and regarding the equality of the world, the inequality of the world, and regarding the protest and all of the things that are going on today? What say you?
Well, I don't know. I can't say that I'm in favor of some of this protesting. A protest of freedom is one thing, but when you protest and tear up things, that's a bit too far. And they just, when this thing starts, they carry it too far, and they should realize that that's not a true protest. That's vandalism, and that's destruction of property.
They would be those though that would say, Leroy, that Well, we try to have peaceful protests, but no one's listening, so we're going to get people's attention. What would you say to that?
Well, I guess they'd get our attention, but when you come down to it, what really are you going to do about it? Somebody said, start shooting them down in the street. Well, we can't have that.
Right.
You know, we can't have that kind of, that becomes mass violence then. So there's got to be more peaceful ways to deal with that.
You know, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine down in Louisiana this week. He happens to be black. And we're certainly had our different perspectives, a little bit about our history of our country and our country being, maybe possibly being one of those tyrannical countries that came in and took land away from the Indians and the Native Americans. And certainly we have issues that as a country, that probably things that we've done that, you know, are not necessarily good. But I think it comes back to an attitude, because when I think about you and I think about all of our soldiers and I think about what America has represented in this world, I see more positive than I do negative. What do you say? And what do you see?
I do too. I think in our form of government and our living in this free, so-called free country, that eventually wins out over any kind of violence. Violence will get you nowhere.
Well, you saw it firsthand in World War II, and you've seen it throughout your 100 years. But when you're talking it, you know, it kind of gives you chills when you start thinking about what you said and describing those people clinging to you as a freedom fighter. And, you know, however we categorize our army and our military, one thing has been pretty clear over the years is that liberation has been one of the key motivations, standing for freedom and liberating those that are not free.
That's exactly right. That covers the whole situation in very solid terms.
But you know, Brother Leroy, I think what comes down to, though, is that sometimes just plain politics get in the way, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does, right? Right now, you can see how some of the political odds is not the right way to go. We've got to work on both sides of the aisle, so they say. And that's the only way that we can work. And until they do that, we're going to have disruptions.
And you've seen that growing, you know, growing up in Clinton County. You've seen both Republicans in charge and Democrats in charge. You've seen, you've seen it really over the last 100 years. Multiple. I think you told me, how many presidents have you lived under?
18
presidents you have lived under.
Woodrow Wilson.
Starting with Woodrow Wilson. So you've kind of seen the ebb and the flow. And I kind of go back to, you know, what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. There's nothing really new under the sun or the moon, is it? It's all pretty much the same stuff that we've battled since the beginning of time.
It certainly is. It doesn't change that much. So, we've had some... I've been able to study a lot of the presidents. Calvin Coolidge is probably the first one that I can remember anything about, you know, hearing about the president. Of course, Hoover had his downfall of the Depression coming on, and a lot of younger people. President Roosevelt was the only president they knew for almost four terms, so but each one has had, I can think of something under each president that has been something that's pertained to our history, and most of it has been welcome news.
Well, we're going to have to do a part two on that, so we'll come back and talk about presidents at some other point. But Leroy, thank you for joining us today. It's always a blessing to talk to you, my friend.
Well, you're entirely welcome. I'm glad to do it and help you out, Shan. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Well, that's been Leroy Good. We'll end the phone call in just a moment with Leroy off air, but I want to thank you for joining us on this special E-Factor. July 4th, it is the 244th birthday of America. I pray that you enjoy it. You go out and literally bask in the freedom that we've been given. Don't let some folks tell you that we're not a free country. God has given us that freedom, and we are all created equal. And make sure that you go out there and share that to other people, that we are equal and we respect all people and we respect all life. And just remember, you might be that person that has an influence. You might empower someone, engage someone this weekend, and share with them the hope that you have as not only an American, but a person created by God. Have a great weekend.